Recently, I was going up to First Watch here in Mandarin. It's one of the places that I have a lot of breakfasts at and a lot of breakfast meetings at. And as I was there, I walked in and I see the normal server that serves us. And he said, hi, how I was doing. And I told him I had three people. I got there about 7:25. I got there a little early. And he brings me over to my table and he asked me what I want to drink. And I said, I want some water. And it's really early and I've been working a lot. So I'd like a cup of coffee. So he goes and he gets his water and cup of coffee. And he just stands there and we begin to talk. And I ask him how he's doing. And he said, he's doing okay. I asked him, has it been busy this morning? He said, no, not too busy this morning. But he said, it's just been a busy week for me. And I said, well, what made it so busy? He said, well, I work full-time here, and then I work part-time somewhere else. And this is hard. And I told him, do you ever get a break? He said, well, I've worked 7 days in a row, and I've got eight more in a row, and I won't have another break for another 8 days. I said, man, that sounds hard. And he takes a cup of coffee, or he takes a pot of coffee, he pours it in my cup and says, thank God for coffee, because it's what gets me through all of this. We all have felt this experience, right? We all have felt this exhaustion. We all have felt this tiredness because there's so much to do, isn't there? There is so much to do, of work to be done, of kids to run around, of school to do, of projects to do. I can keep going on and on. And even as I say that, you might be getting a little anxious. It's tiring. It's exhausting. And sometimes we just want to go lay down in our bed and sleep for 3 whole days. 3 whole days. Sometimes life is exhausting. And even as Americans, we are one of the worst places of exhaustion. Statistics have shown that an average American that works has 9 unused vacation days. 9 unused days. I'll say it again, 9. That is a lot of days that we don't use and we choose to work. It's a lot of days where we could have gone golfing. We could have gone and hung out with family, even though we might not want to. We could have gone to the beach. We could have hung out with our friends. We could have hung out with our families. We could have gone and played with our kids. There are so many other things that we could do, but we choose to work. Life sometimes is tiring and busy, but it goes to a deeper level. It's not just the busyness around us. We have this thing called a monkey mind. Does anybody have a monkey mind? Your brain goes all over the place. And even as I'm saying things now, your brain is in 10 different places. Yes, I see one hand up way back there. Everybody else is lying, I think. I have a monkey mind. I really do. Somebody sent me a text message of a YouTube video, and it was the new Kanye West song. It was a terrible song. Don't ever listen to it. But it led me to this song that Kanye West had, which led me to another Kanye West song, which led me to a Childish Gambino song. These are all rappers. Which then led me to an article about that, which then led me to another article about that. And what I had thought is that I was just going to look at the text message for about a minute, and an hour and a half goes by, and I'm stuck on my phone reading this article about Childish Gambino. We all have experienced this, right? We get stuck. We get busy. Life is busy, and our monkey mind goes all over the place. The Hebrew writers had a way in which they were able to overcome it. The Hebrew writers had a way in which they were able to center their monkey minds. They had a way in which they were able to stop what all they were doing just to be. And the word they have is Sabbath. Sabbath literally means to rest. And it goes all the way back to the very beginning of creation. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the heavens and the earth, and then he separated the firmament from the water. And God created the land. God created the water. God created all the animals. God created the fish, and God created the mammals. And God created humanity. And God created humanity in the image of God, the Imago Dei. And then we have the seventh day. This is where Sabbath comes in. I want to read it for you. It's very short. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Made it holy. Because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. If you look at all of the first pieces that go before this, all of God's creation, there is no mention of the word holy. He creates humanity, he creates land, he creates animals, he creates the firmament, he creates the water, he creates the sea, he creates the heavens and the earth, and there is no mention of holiness until God creates the Sabbath. Holy. The word in Hebrew is kadosh, and the word kadosh literally means to consecrate, to dedicate. And when we think about that word kadosh, we oftentimes think of buildings, right? We're going to consecrate this building. Or we're going to dedicate this space. We have dedicated spaces, right? But for God, God does something very different. He doesn't consecrate the days. He He doesn't consecrate humanity. He doesn't make holy the land and the fish and the sea and the birds and all of creation. What does God make holy? Time. That seventh day is holy and consecrated. Sometimes we want to make holy all of the space and the material things. We make buildings holy. We make this holy. We make that holy. But God and God's rhythm, God and the creation of rhythm, made time holy. He worked 6 days, and the seventh that was holy, he rested. It was all in this rhythm of God. Now, I've recently been getting into running as well, probably because I've been eating so much First Watch, I need to go and run. And if you ask Wes, he has asked me to do training for prayer warriors, and I have politely declined because I do not like working out for working out's sake. I want to go and play basketball or play a sport and keep my mind off of it so my body knows I'm exercising, but I'm really not. So I really wanted to get into a physical activity, and I really have learned to love the outdoors. I wanted to be outside, so I decided that I was going to get into running. I'm not a very good runner. I really just despise it. But I said, well, maybe if I listen to music, it'll help. I ran the first 2 times, and I didn't really have music, and it wasn't good. So I decided I've had my Bluetooth headphones on, I had my outfit in, I attached my headphones to my phone, and I decided I was going to look for a running playlist. So I just go to Amazon Music and type in running. And I find this Kickstart cardio playlist. I didn't even look at it, I just pushed play. And it has this really, really nice beat, and I begin to run. Is anybody else runners? Okay, there's a few runners. Hopefully you listen to music that has a good beat. Because I started this running, and the first song, it was really good, and the rhythm of the song matched with my steps. So it was going really, really well. And the second song was really, really good, and the rhythm of my steps matched with the music, and running was so nice. I even saw a deer while I was running, and it was a beautiful experience. But then this third song came on. It was an Ariana Grande song, and it was just not a good beat. It was terrible. And I began to physically feel myself just get tired and physically felt myself get exhausted because I'm running this Ariana Grande song and it doesn't match with the rhythm of my feet and the rhythm of me running. We all have probably experienced some of this. There's a rhythm of life. There's a rhythm of moving and stopping. There's a movement, a rhythm of how we do the day and how we rest. There's a rhythm of how we do life. There's a rhythm of creation, but sometimes we forget the rhythm. We want to work, 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 and we never have a day off, and then we have to go and take care of the family, take care of our friends, take care of our kids. We have to go and take care of this project and that project, and we have to do this in the house, and we never get a chance just to rest. We never get a chance of being in the rhythm that God created us for. Sometimes we forget the Sabbath. We forget the Sabbath. But it doesn't just stop in Genesis. It goes to Exodus and Deuteronomy. We have this Sabbath. Has anybody ever heard of the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments has this one piece of it where it talks about observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. The context of the Ten Commandments, it's right after the Israelites are freed from Egypt. And while the Israelites are in Egypt, the Israelites are being forced to make bricks. And every single day they make bricks. Brick, 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 brick. Monday, Tuesday, brick, brick. Brick, brick, brick. Wednesday, brick, brick, brick. Every day is the same thing. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And the Israelites' value in which they have it from Egypt is seen in how much they can produce, how many bricks they produce. So the one that produces the most bricks is the highest valued one. The one that doesn't work so well and kind of slacks off is the least value. Well, when the Israelites are freed from that captivity and they're moved into the wilderness, God gives them the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments are not rules and regulations on how to live, and there's 613 laws in Leviticus, but the Ten Commandments are not about these rules and regulations and procedures. It's really about how we live in relationship with one another. How do we live in relationship with the person next to us? How do we live in relationship to God? And how do we live in relationship with creation? So God is reminding the Israelites how to live in a right relationship with God and with each other and with creation. And one of the things that he says is the most important things. Is to observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. And God is reminding the Israelites that their value is not found upon how many bricks they can make, not about how much they can produce, not about how much wealth they can accumulate, but their value is found in being as a human. God calls us human beings, not human doings, quoting Rob Bell. human beings. So often we forget, and we have our value based upon what we can produce. How big of a house can we buy? How nice of a car can we drive? How much money can we make? How much can we have this? How much stuff can we accumulate? How much stuff can we have in our storage unit over there? Our value, sometimes it's implicitly, or it's in our subconscious. I want to have that because I want to feel valued. But the Ten Commandments and what the Sabbath reminds us of is it's not about the things. It's not about what we can accumulate. It's not about the bricks upon bricks upon bricks. It's upon being. It's upon observing the Sabbath and keeping it holy. Again, that word, kadosh. That word, kadosh. Observe it and keep it holy. So where are you living in your rhythm? What is your rhythm of life? When you think about this last week, when you think about the last month, have there been spaces for you where you've observed the Sabbath? Or has it always been work, 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 and never observed a space just to be? Peter Rollins tells a story of a parable. And it was a man, a fisherman from the north who was very, very wealthy, and he had a whole fleet of boats. And this fisherman from the north comes down to the south, and he sees this person from the south, this other fisherman that just has his regular oars and an old school boat, and he's lazily lounging on the beach with a pipe in his mouth. And the fisherman from the north asks him, "What are you doing? Why aren't you fishing?" And the person says, "Well, I'm here. I'm relaxing." And he says, "Well, why don't you go and catch some more fish? You can get some more fish and then sell them." And the fisherman from the south said, "Well, then what would I do?" And he said, "Well, then you could go and you could buy a bigger boat. And maybe you can put a motor on that boat. And then you could go deeper out into the waters and catch bigger fish. And then you can make more money." And the fisherman from the south said, "Well, then what would I do? Then what would I do?" The fisherman said, "Well, maybe you can get nylon nets. And maybe you can buy a bigger boat. Maybe you can have two boats. Maybe you can have a fleet of boats like me." And the fisherman from the south said, "Well, then what would I do?" And the fisherman from the north said, "Well, then you'll enjoy life like me." The fisherman from the south grinned, and he said, "Well, what do you think I'm doing right now?" We're always on this hamster wheel. We're always on this hamster wheel. Get, work, 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 do this, do that. We're always doing something. We're trying to be human doings and not human beings. And what the Sabbath reminds us, what God reminds us of, is we're called to just be. We're called to just sit and be, because our value is not found upon how much we accumulate. Our value is not found in how many bricks we make, but our value is found in being. So where is your rhythm? Where might you learn to observe the Sabbath? Where might you just sit lounging on the beach with a pipe in your hand and say, "Maybe this is where I'll enjoy life"? Let's pray. God, we thank you for the ways in which you work in our lives, the ways in which you call us to Sabbath, the ways in which you call us just to be, that it's not about accumulating wealth, it's not about our status, it's not about all the work and the obligations of the things of the house and things to do, but it's solely about being. So help us to be fully present. Help us to be in rhythm with all of creation. Amen.